Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Thanks very much for that great introduction, Spike Reel. We're very pleased to have back on the show a repeat guest, Chris Miles, who's joining us from Money Ripples in Salt Lake City, Utah. And Chris is the cash flow expert. Chris has developed and worked with people to help them develop strategies so they can have multiple streams of income and de-emphasize accumulation and instead look for types of properties and other types of investments that will provide residual income. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be back on, Bill.
It's a pleasure to have you back on. We got a lot of good comments on the last show. And listeners, if you didn't catch it, you can go to exitcoachradio.com and type in Chris Miles into the search index and listen to his prior interview where we kind of set up his background and where Chris is come from. And so, Chris, what's new? What's going on? You're the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. What's happening?
Just this, kind of the same thing. It's been a lot of speaking lately. It's kind of nice to cool down a little bit in the summer months. No pun intended, I guess.
Yeah,
that sounds a little ironic when I say it that way. But yeah, definitely, it's been great just to be able to speak to a lot of small business owners and groups, and it's been a very exciting year. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you've been featured in U.S. News and CNN Money and Bankrate and right. Been talking a lot to different people. So this is a very hot topic because people are concerned about how they're going to have income for what's projected to be very long stretches of retirement. So what are some of the strategies that are happening that are popular that people are really gravitating to?
Yeah, let's talk about some of the strategies I'm not advocating.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Because I've been getting this question a lot from my clients lately. They said, hey, Chris, we're doing a great job. We're freed up cash flow today, which is great. We're saving money in taxes. We're able to have more cash flow, more profit every month, both in our business and at home. But Chris, what about retirement, right? They keep bringing that stuff up. And because I'm kind of an anti-retirement type of guy. You know, I love what I do. And so I've already retired once and it was really boring. So but for me, the whole concept of retirement has changed, and a lot of people are looking for those safe residual income streams, things to allow them to retire. So it's not about accumulating a lot of money, like you were just saying earlier. It's not about saving a ton of money. It's about how to really create that cash flow.
Right.
And so one of the things I look at, for example, and these are things that have worked for me as well as many of my clients, is you know, of three places that you can look for ways to create residual streams of income. And I say residual because they're not passive. I don't like passive other than from an accounting perspective. Mm-hmm. Anything that's passive where you expect to get something for nothing is not passive income. It's called gambling.
Anything
you can do nothing to get something, you're gambling, right? And so I want to make sure that we're very clear that this residual is something where there's actual value behind it. That's the real key for all three of these things, is that it's always rooted in how you're providing value. But you don't always have to be the one always providing the value, right?
Well, give us an example of something that you're talking about that's passive that would be gambling. Would that be in an investment that throws off income because it might go up and down in value or go away? Or
yeah, definitely there. In those cases, you know, for example, if you go invest money with somebody else, right? You mm-hmm. go give some institution or some person money, you're always getting the table scraps, right? They're going to make their money because they're the ones that are being the active investors. You're
trying to sure.
be the passive
okay.
person, right?
Okay.
Or when people think they can just throw money at something and just sit back and do nothing, mailbox money, even like with real estate. I learned that the hard way, where I want to sit back and do nothing and just earn money from real estate and then wonder why I lost money in real estate doing it that way.
Hmm.
You know, things like that. So whenever you become passive and you expect to provide no value in order to get something in return, or I've had a lot of clients where they'll say, hey, here's this investment offering to pay 3% a month or 5% a month, or you know, here's one that's 10% a month. What do you think? I'm like, it's crap, probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
'Cause what are you doing? Nothing. Well, why would they want you? If it's that good, they'd have no problem getting bank money, right? If it weren't a gamble.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Like that, or getting other investors' money. So things like that. I don't like to gamble. You know, why work so hard to lose it all in one shot, right?
Okay. Okay. I got you now.
Yeah. But ways that you can do it, though, that have worked for me is things like, for example, in your own business already, you know, can you start, for example, building one at a time? You know, can you offer a new service or a product? It doesn't necessarily require a lot of time and effort. You know, things like that. Can you have affiliates to where somebody could be involved? Maybe you leverage somebody else's abilities and their talents, but you're mm-hmm. able to create money because of the fact that you have a referral relationship. I was actually able to retire when I was 28 years old purely because I was really good at referring a few people a month to people.
Wow.
And it would pay off income streams that way. And next thing I know, I had more than enough to pay for my expenses. And it can be inside your own business. I mentioned that because if you already have a business, you're already good at something, you already have a reputation, people are already looking to you for value. How can you leverage that in a way where you still continue to provide value, even if it's not always you doing it?
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it might require you bringing on more people or better systems, right? Or better products or a service, something that people are asking for, that could really generate some additional, really active, not just residual income, but even some active income that maybe feel more leveraged, that won't feel like you have to spend a lot of time doing it. Mm-hmm. One big warning with that is don't do what I did afterwards, which is, you know, when I decided to come back out of retirement and do some things that were more passion filled. At one point, I was getting so excited about the problems I could solve in the world, I started 5 businesses at once.
Ooh, okay.
And I did have multiple streams of income. I'll tell you that. I made money from each one of those 5. But my overall income decreased when I did that. But when I decided to cut off about 3 of them and focus on 2, and I focused on just those 2, my income overall went up. Even though I cut off 3 streams of income, my overall income increased. And
Because you cut out some losers, or you could focus more on the winners, or both?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, if you want to put out a fire, you're not going to take out your garden sprinkler and start spraying all over. You're going to focus on one place and concentrate,
mm-hmm.
and just try to put that fire out, you know, one place at a time. And that's why I learned is that, you know, it was so exciting, especially back in the early 2000s when people were talking about multiple streams of income and things like that. I thought, oh, that'd be great. But what they didn't tell me, you know, is well, build one at a time. You know, focus on it for maybe a year or two or more, depending on how big it is. It might be a matter of months. But focus on it and hone in on that. Get the systems and the people in place so then you can step away and move to the next one. And so you build those streams of income one at a time. You know, products and services, those are easier. You might be able to build those, you know, once every few months. But again, same thing. Don't go and create 5 new products and then try to figure out how to promote them all and market them. It's not going to work.
So is one of the things that you do is to kind of help people figure out what might make sense for them in their particular situation?
Yeah, my biggest thing is I want people to say no to opportunities more times than they say yes.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd rather have people simplify their lives, not complicate them more.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people that are in either in business or they're in money and things like that, they try to make it more complex and that's just a big money leak in and of itself. You know, the more complex you go, the more money you lose. And so mm-hmm. I like to build simplicity into it.
So what are some what are some examples that you might illustrate for our listeners of, because there's a lot of people out there thinking, you know, it all sounds good, but I'm having a hard time picturing what might make sense for me in my situation.
Yeah, 2 more here. Here's the second one. One thing you could do, and I've had a lot of clients do this, is remain as a consultant or a board member of your company, mm-hmm. Especially if you're looking to retire. I mean, one option is definitely you can always sell your business, and you talk a lot about how to exit your business that way and be able to sell it, or mm-hmm. you know, there are all kinds of options even in that field.
Right.
But one of those options, as you've probably talked about before, is remaining on as a consultant.
Yeah, yeah, becoming the part-time chairman instead of the overtime president.
Exactly, exactly. And I had that conversation with somebody just 3 days ago, and they're saying, well, you know, how does that look? I said, well, it depends. You know, how much value you're going to add to that company. If you just want to sit back and do nothing, you better take a very small percentage. If you're going to be a little bit more active, maybe it's more than just a quarterly meeting. You know, you might want to consider retaining a larger percentage if mm-hmm. you're going to stay on more. Yeah, I have one client in New York. He's a chiropractor out there, and it amazes me. He's not quite a consultant at this point, but he pretty much is. He works about 5-6 hours a week. He just goes in the office one day, actually does his practice. The rest of the days, he's got other docs and people in there doing things for him, and he pulls in about $500,000 a year, which in the chiropractic industry is pretty amazing, even if for someone who's working overtime. And so, I mean, he's just really good at having those systems in place, the right people in place, oversees it, but he's not having to be in there all the time. He can actually enjoy his life a little bit, but he still loves it. So he still, keeps his finger on it a little bit and stays in the practice and is more of the owner and more transitioning into a consultant or a board member.
And that's so important for service type businesses, because you likely, unless you build it up that way and have other practitioners handling the work and you graduate to the owner, and it's just, if you're just the practitioner, it's just your job, you're likely not going to have much of a sale value when it comes time to sell it. But you could have a nice income stream if you start early enough to build that out like you're talking. So that's a great point.
Absolutely. Yeah, both these last points we've made, if you do it right, the nice thing is if you decide to sell it, the resale value is much, much higher.
Sure.
Because they're more automated. There's more systems involved than just you being the independent business owner just basically owning a job.
And the bottom line is that you're probably going to get a much higher yield and return by taking that income stream, continuing that, than if you were to try to sell the business, pay taxes, and then reinvest it somewhere else in one of those passive ideas that you talked about earlier.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's really it's a mindset in some ways, this cash flow or becoming sensitive to items that throw off cash. It becomes a mindset instead of the old discussion, let's build up a 401k or build up our retirement plan and then harvest off of that when it's time to retire. Which may or may not work depending on how much you have, what your yield is after retirement, and how much you spend at that time. And a lot of people aren't very good with big lump sums of money. We know that.
Yeah, absolutely. You got it.
So we talked about taking your business that you have, if you own a business out there, and becoming a part-time chairman instead of an overtime president. So it's not just a job, it's a business that you own, and you get paid as a result of the profits that come off of that. But what are some of the other ideas that you're talking about with people who are saying, okay, well, I don't own a business, but I do want to build up some assets or some things that are going to throw off income or maybe start a business? What are some of the low-hanging fruit that are out there for people to explore?
Yeah, that kind of comes to my third point. You can do stuff in your business, but every once in a while you get people, especially where they start accumulating more money, right? Maybe they start being profitable in their business and they have that extra cash. They say, well, I could reinvest in my business or I could do something else with it. One of the alternative ways when you start looking outside of your own business, or if you don't have one, you're looking to go into something different, is definitely looking for alternative investments. I absolutely abhor mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I really like control of my money. I don't think there's ever a possibility of real financial freedom when you don't feel like you're in control. So I like to look at things that, again, are creating cash flow, not just trying to accumulate money to hopefully live off the interest. Because you can accumulate $1 million, but when all the financial advisors are saying live off 3% a year, mm-hmm. I don't want to live off $30,000 a year by being a millionaire.
Right.
So I like to leverage things. So things like real estate can be good. Mm-hmm. I always put a warning to that, because if it takes so much time and attention away from your business, it could cost you more than it makes you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's been said that you earn every penny in real estate, one way or the other.
You do. And a lot of times if I get clients, I mean, I have connections with people that do take care of a lot of the dirty work for you, but still allow you to have control. And I like that, but it's something that I really believe that if you're going to do alternative investments, you shouldn't only do it for the cash.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you ever do something just for the money, just like I mentioned when I was doing real estate for the mailbox money, right?
Right. Right.
That's when you know you're in it for the wrong reason and you're not going to last very long with that kind of that purpose behind it. If your purpose is just to make money, what makes that any different than having a job?
Yeah, good point.
The people that complain about 9-to-5 job paychecks, right? They clock in, clock out. If you do investing just for that reason, it's pain. It's not fun. It's not real financial freedom.
Well, and it's you against the big guys that are out there suited up and going 24 hours a day these days. So,
yeah.
How do you expect to win?
Exactly. So I like things like, yeah, I definitely, real estate's one of those I do like, that I think for a lot of people can be a good fit, but not always, just depending on your motives. So real estate's great. I mean, one thing I do like about real estate is just like, if I want to invest in something, right? If you think about it, like banks are the savviest type of investors you have out there. I mean, think about trying to get a loan. It takes you sometimes weeks, if not months, to get a loan because they're doing so much due diligence in you as the investment, right?
Right, right.
You can learn a lot from a bank and how they look at investing by how they invest in you. And I'm all surprised how most people don't look at investments nearly that in depth. They don't look at the investor so much as the investments. And so like real estate, it's kind of nice because real estate, at least you know that bank is willing to lend for real estate. They won't lend you money for a 401k or an IRA. They'll laugh in your face and say, why would we do that? That's risky.
Good point.
That's what everybody else does, right?
Good point, yeah.
But you think about business, real estate, things like that. Other alternative investments I like that has kind of opened my world recently is seeing possibilities of franchises.
Mm-hmm.
Find the right franchise for you. I mean, it might be something where you're not necessarily being in the business, but you can run a business. And if it's got a nice little manual to go with it, even better, right?
Sure.
And it doesn't always have to be McDonald's or something like that. It can be, I mean, there's lots of smaller franchises that might be between $50,000 to $100,000 to get started.
Yeah.
And great thing is, if you got IRA money, you can actually use that IRA money in that business without penalties and taxes if you do it right.
Yeah, you're right. There's thousands of franchises out there, and not everybody tends to think of the big names, but there are a lot of different things you can do, and it's just a marketplace that's exploded. So that's a great alternative for people that are thinking, I want to do something, but I don't want to start something because then I'm going to be working 18 hours a day again.
Exactly. Yep.
So great.
Yeah.
So when you meet with people and discuss these types of things, what are some of the reactions you get from people, Chris?
Reactions at what point?
Well, I mean, they're saying, okay, well, I never thought about, you know, how I could do this, but what are some of the questions or thoughts that you might get from them when they say, well, how do I start? Where do I go from here? And is it just a varied mix of reactions that you get from people or questions?
You know, they think it's varied, but it's a lot of the same questions usually. I mean, everybody that I talk to, especially business owners, I mean, they're looking for someone who's not going to tell them to take money out of their business and put it into something that they don't want, right? Like mutual funds, for example. I mean, every financial person you run into out there is always trying to sell you a product, and that's not what I do. I have people on my team that do offer products, but I stand in their corner more. I'm like, well, let's look at the big picture here. And so when I start working with them, I'm always looking at cash flow first and foremost. How can we plug those leaks and make sure that we're maximizing maximizing income and also decreasing expenses where they need to be decreased, but not without sacrificing lifestyle. So I don't want people to feel like they have to live off rice and beans. I think that's absolutely annoying.
Right.
I think people should live life and enjoy life a little bit, but still be responsible stewards of what they have. And so we start there, and then we focus on how to keep your money, and then we focus after that. The third phase is how we increase your money. And so some of the reactions I get with this conversation, people want to get to this conversation from day one, and I'll stop them from doing that. I'll say, no, we can have that as a theme throughout, but I have to understand who they are, because these options really become more limited based on who you are, what you really want, what are you passionate about, what are your strengths. I mentioned that guy from New York who was working, very part-time his business. He actually wanted to get into things with oil investments. And he found one, and it didn't look great, because I actually have people score opportunities, and it didn't look great. And so as we're going through his questions, he said, well, big thing it looks like from your questions here, Chris, is control is a big issue. I don't have control. Okay, well, can you be on the board of directors? Well, I never considered that. Well, ask him, how much do you have to invest? Found out he only had to invest 50 grand. He'd be on the board of directors and help make decisions so he could control it. But he took it a step further. He said, wait, I'm noticing a problem here. We got a group of people that are acting as the CEOs, but they're really just CFOs. They're better at the financial numbers, but they're not good at the communication and working the whole company.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm a better business owner than they are. So he basically proposed to the board and appointed himself CEO. Started pulling off an income stream off that, plus the income stream he was earning from the interest on the oil investment and everything else. And it was beautiful to watch. And it was very, very part-time, didn't take a ton of his time at all. But he became the intermediary between the guys that were doing the drilling in Kentucky and between the guys that were more just the financial people. And he fulfilled a need that they really needed to help become more profitable as a company.
Well, I call that thinking outside of the box, Chris. That's a great story. Now, yeah. You're offering our listeners a free money leak evaluation, and that's where things start, is evaluating and understanding what the needs are. Tell us a little bit about that and what they need to do to take advantage of that offer.
You bet. So yeah, everybody always asks me, they say, Chris, I know I'm losing money. I just don't know where it is. And I'm like, well, join the club. That's everybody.
Yeah.
And so how do we find and fix those money leaks? Because my average client finds about $33,000 in their first year alone, much of that ongoing.
Wow.
And so I have a meet with my consultant, and we do a money leak evaluation where we look to see where those areas are and that kind of thing. So it's really eye-opening to be able to see, hey, here's the problem. Here's what we have. And if it's a good fit, great. We can even, you know, have you start work with us as a client. If not, we'll at least give you a few pointers and send you on your way, you know. So what we're offering, normally I do charge at least, you know, a $50 fee even to do that. We've been charging $250, but we decided to make that a little bit more affordable. But for the first five people that do reach out to me, just personally, chris@moneyripples.com, mm-hmm. that email chris@moneyripples.com, they reach out to me personally, the first five people will get that at no charge. That'll be complimentary.
That's fantastic. And otherwise, how would people reach you? Is that the best way, through the email offer, or is it
should they come to you? That'd be the best way, because then I can track to see exactly what time they come in. So I can just pick the first five, and there we go.
Okay, so listeners, you've got an opportunity here to stop the leaks, first of all. And if you stop the leaks, like Chris said, you're going to find a lot of money probably that you've been spending that you don't need to be spending. And then you can start looking at how to make money. But first, why wouldn't you take advantage of that offer? So get in touch with Chris at chris@moneyripples.com. And Chris, thanks very much for joining us again. It's always interesting, and I hope you'll come back again soon, and we'll talk about this and love to hear the updates about how things are going, and maybe next time we'll talk about some of your talks to groups and things like that. But thanks very much for joining us today.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you, Bill.
I've been talking with Chris Miles of Money Ripples in Salt Lake City, Utah. Give Chris a call or go to his email, chris@moneyripples.com. Take advantage of his free money leak evaluation. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.